You're listening to the St. Mark's Podcast for March 29th, 2024, Good Friday. Today's sermon was given by the Reverend John Kennedy. It's based on John chapter 18, verse 1 through chapter 19, verse 42.
Last year, during a confirmation class, the question of Jesus' death was raised. The question of why Jesus had to die, of what his death accomplished, of how it can be said that his death was for us and for our salvation. I had not planned to speak about this on that day, though of course the question of the cross is never too far away when we are talking about Jesus. I knew better than to simply say he died to show us how much God loves us. Because, while true, that does not begin to answer the question of why he would have to die, let alone be crucified, in order to show us this. But I was uncomfortable using, at least directly, the language and ideas of Jesus dying in our place for our sins as an atoning sacrifice for us, somehow taking our sin and death upon himself, and thereby setting us free from our captivity to these things. My discomfort was because this language, these ideas, are fraught and contested. On one hand, some Christians assert these ideas in such a way that it ends up sounding like God actively punished an innocent Jesus for our sins so we could be forgiven and go to heaven. On the other hand, some Christians, particularly in mainline traditions such as our own, oppose the language of a substitutionary sacrifice so strongly that it somehow sometimes seems better to remain silent on the matter than to try to wade into it in some way. And so, in this confirmation class, I muddled through a long-winded explanation of the historical circumstances of Jesus' death. I talked about the nonviolence of Jesus versus the violence of the world seen so clearly in the religious authorities and the Roman imperial powers that put him to death, and how in his death and resurrection, Jesus reveals the brokenness of the world and shows us a better way. And somewhere along the way of trying to thread that needle into the question of how Jesus' death has direct personal relevance for a teenager in New Canaan in 2023, I saw many eyes in that confirmation class glaze over. The historical context, the political dimensions of Jesus' death are, of course, very important. But on their own, they don't, to me, quite answer the question of how Jesus' death accomplished our salvation. And after all, Jesus' last words on the cross in John's passion narrative are, "It is finished." In the Latin, consummatum est, it is completed. And the historical context and political dimensions of Jesus' death also don't seem to, on their own, explain or inspire the sort of devotion to the cross that we see in the lives of Christians throughout the ages and that are woven into this Good Friday liturgy, particularly in the veneration of the cross that will follow shortly. Now, I really understand and sympathize with the reasons for discomfort with the idea of Jesus taking our sin, our estrangement from God upon himself, paying the price for it, if you will, in order that we might be saved. And I understand why we might sometimes wish to keep our distance from that language and those ideas. But I've come to believe that the cost, the price we pay for this distance, is much too high. Because this idea, this language about Jesus' death for us is woven throughout Scripture and our liturgies. We see it right at the beginning of John's Gospel when John the Baptist says of Jesus, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In John chapter 3, it is said that Jesus, the Son of Man, must be lifted up, crucified, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. In John's Passion narrative, which we just heard, Jesus is crucified in the place of Barabbas, a bandit who had been sentenced to death, but is set free because Jesus took his place. In Isaiah's suffering servant passage, which we also heard earlier, written centuries before Jesus, but understood by Christians since the time of the New Testament to be some sort of prophecy of his death, we hear, "Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities." And this, I believe, is the sort of language, the sort of ideas that can inspire devotion and can make our hearts burn within us. What does it all mean exactly? Well, of course, I don't presume to be able to explain it all to you, especially in a sermon. Much of it, I think, is beyond my pay grade. I will say that I don't believe that this language means that God required a blood sacrifice in order to forgive our transgressions, but rather that the gravity of our human predicament, of our profound estrangement from God, creation, our neighbors, and ourselves, was so great that it took Jesus taking the full weight of our sin and our estrangement on himself in order to break its power and to heal us, redeem us, and set us free. When speaking of the death of Jesus in this way, we are in the realm of poetic truth. It cannot all be explained or understood rationally. It is, in the end, a mystery that we must understand differently by standing under it in prayer and devotion and letting it wash over us and coming to see that it was for you that Jesus died and that this is a word of mercy, not a threat of punishment. I've come to believe that when we distance ourselves from the cross, we distance ourselves from the full reach of God's grace, from the breathtaking love of God that is revealed and extended to us on it. If we want to comprehend the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, I believe we must draw near to the cross and embrace it in its fullness, just as Christ embraces us from it with his outstretched arms. In the closing prayer of our Good Friday liturgy today, we will ask Christ to set his passion, cross, and death between his judgment and our souls. May we not put anything or allow anything to come between our souls and the cross, God's ultimate word of his infinite, unconditional love and mercy. Amen.
You can find more sermons on our website, www.stmarksnewcanaan.org.